So now we're at the place where we're going to include our Christmas tree. You guys can go ahead, Eric, and bring up a few lights in the house if you'd like. We have Eric and Brenda working back at the sound and audio video booth. So Chris is off doing some family things together. I just wanted to say a little bit about the series and where we've been. The series called Unvarnished Christmas. And this is the culmination of it. It stems from the fact that Christmas isn't always joyful and contains some awful things. In our congregation, we've lost another one of our loved ones, Jean Davis, who passed away just a few days ago. And she's the fourth since October. And so we are in our own grief as a church, at the same time trying to push through the fact that Jesus did come, and we celebrate that every year. And those things aren't antithetical. They're not opposites. You can't only be joyful and only have grief. And that's what we're endeavoring to do, to bring them together. So the first message in the series was on the fact that we are wounded. And we looked at the Christmas narrative in the Bible and talked about the dysfunction and the pain that was a part of that first scene. And the second week we talked about healing and how healing comes through what Jesus accomplished, this first mighty step, maybe the mightiest, to me the mightiest step is he came to be one of us. And we talked about last Sunday, actually two Sundays ago, because we had a Christmas program last Sunday, come near. And so this is kind of the fulfillment of the coming near part. And this is one of our home Christmas trees, and we usually, I asked Diana if it'd be okay if I took it out of where we would normally put it up and brought it for the sake of our time together, and so she did. And I told you I was going to start decorating it. That's what we're doing today. We're decorating this tree, but our object isn't to decorate the tree. Our object is to have symbols that we're calling ornaments go on the tree that represent your stories. We're interested in the stories, whether you have a warm Christmas story or a painful one. And I have a box of they're not ugly in and of themselves, but on our tree and everything else that's going to be hung, they might be a little ugly. Because I was laying in bed last night thinking, wait a minute, what if somebody wants to hang an ornament? They don't know about it or they couldn't find it. I know Diana was searching frantically for the one she wanted, and she finally found it this morning. So I have two boxes that most of them have hangers. So we'll use the one that have hangers, and then you can come up and tell a story and hang an ornament. So again, it's not, we just don't want to leave this with a horribly decorated tree. We want to have our stories accumulated on this tree. We're going to leave it up. It'll be up for next Sunday service. It will play a role tonight off to the side, even though the rest of our lights will be a little different. So I decided you can't have a Christmas tree without lights. So I did that. I'm a colored light guy because it's more simple. When I was growing up, I always thought that only the rich people had white lights because we didn't have white lights and we were a poor family, you know, kind of. And so I kind of held a grudge for a little while. But the same, I know when I'm driving at night during this holiday season, when I see colored lights on a house, on a 40-acre field away, it's just warming to me. It just, you know, does something to me. It's part of the Christmas. So I want to do that. So we have lights and something as a base. But I told you I'd start with the topper. And so here's my topper. We always did angels in our house. I played shortstop. Okay. and this is the angel that I put on the top of the tree the first Christmas where I found myself alone after 24 years. And if you were a regular here, you heard this story, and I was determined I wasn't going to celebrate that first Christmas alone. I was negative, and you know, and we ended up because of my youngest son, who wasn't there for me on the holiday but was there leading up to it, insisted, and we ended up with two Christmas trees. And so this is the angel. She's a little frumpy. I can't never figure out how to do her dress right, but that's the topper I would put on. And so this represents to me hope. In my little house in Atlanta, Michigan, see, she doesn't even work right. That's okay. That's perfect, actually. That's perfect. I bought this home, and it had drop ceiling right above the molding, and I did something about it over the years, but it was a little house. Diana, the first time she saw it, she called it a cottage, which slightly offended me because it was my house. But that was a place of healing. God used that place to heal. It was in a subdivision, you'd call it, but it was a dirt road subdivision on a flooding lake up on County Road 624. Good fishing, and not like a skiing lake or anything like that. And I was alone a lot there. And by the way, I prefer alone. I'm wired for alone. And some of you aren't. You're wired to have to be with people. So the COVID season was restful for me, and it was stressful for some others. But in that place where I ended up living for, I think, 5 years, we lived there together after we got married for 1 year, and then moved away, and have continued those journeys. It was a Christmas that had no piles of presents, not that piles of them were ever a part of my house, but it was a quiet reminder that the joy of Christmas happens even when your life gets turned upside down. And so that goes on in my office. I have another little tree for my office tree, little topper, but she goes on top of my bookcase. I just put her out. I don't plug her in. She's just there to remind me of hope, which continues no matter what happens. So I asked some of you to bring in pictures or send in pictures and tell stories according to those pictures. So I have some pictures back there in the computer that Brenda's going to help us with. And so this is kind of I'm going to call it a free-for-all, but not like a UFC fight or anything like that. It's just like, what God puts on your heart. I want to hear it, though, and so we're online, too. We're live streaming, as we always do. So if you have a testimony to share, and it doesn't have to be Christmas. I mean, here we are, but let the Spirit move. If you have an ornament and you want to tell the story of that ornament, or however that works, that's what we're going to do. And I have something to preach because they always told me when I got ordained, you have to always be ready to preach, pray, or die. And so I'm ready to preach, but I hope I don't have to, because this is our story sharing time. So whether you're a regular one of us, so I'm going to start by, are you ready? Would you do that? It's on your desk. Okay, why don't you go back and get it? We'll get somebody else up here. Did you, Monica, want me to tell your story, or were you going to tell your story? Do you have an ornament? Doesn't matter. Well, why don't you put Monica's up there, Brenda? And Monica, will you come up with your ornament? Monica, as you saw, she's on keys. Well, you didn't see her on keys yet because she was in the choir, but we have a couple songs we're going to sing together. This is Monica Hawcroft. Go ahead and hang that.
I actually have two.
Okay, what about those ornaments?
I actually have two. One is a treble clef for the music, and the other one is a memorial ornament of our dear friend Ellsworth, our pastor Ellsworth, and he was very, very instrumental in our lives and in the music, that I grew up with since I was 10 years old, I believe, and so I have his memorial here.
And who are these people?
These people, my sister is standing, that's my sister Heidi, and I'm in the middle on the chair with my youngest cousin David, and my cousin Crystal standing next to me, and then my little cousin Mark, who he passed away of leukemia at age 8. So we always spent Christmas Eve at the German church, and we would sing with the children's choir, and they'd give us a bag of walnuts, and they'd give us an orange and candies. And then we would go to Grandma's and open Christmas gifts and stuff afterwards. So this is at Grandma's house way back then.
You just told your story.
I don't have to read it.
That's good.
I don't like talking.
Now, if you have a conversation with Monica after church, you'll go, that's not true. She just doesn't like it, do it up front. Now, Diana, you want to come up? So Diana has a picture in there. I don't know if I put that back in there or not, Brenda, if you don't see it. Oh, there it is. And she's the little lovely on the left side. Gotta have them.
Okay. These are my twin sisters, Sharon and Karen. Sharon is on the right. Karen's in the middle. And Mom always said, oh, put your hands together and look like you're praying. So, anyway, that's the way we were looking like that. But my sisters, I just appreciate them so much. And I've got to say, They've got to be about the sweetest, most kindest people I have ever met. And I feel very blessed that God had given me them. And I think, you know, I don't think that I have ever argued or had any bad words with Sharon. Now, Karen's different, but... No, Karen's sweet too, but you know, she used to pull my hair and stuff. But I really do appreciate, we've always been very close and close-knit and finishing sentences. You know how that goes if you're really close with your siblings. And they just were always there for me. And it's a wonderful thing because even though we weren't saved at that time, it's just, you know, we grew up with good morals, and then Karen, I was praying for Karen, and here I wasn't even saved, but it's kind of weird, but then she, you know, got saved at 16, and Sharon and I was saved at Lake Louise Baptist Camp, and that was, when I was 14, and Sharon was 16, so... I just thank God for such a wonderful relationship with these lovely ladies. And they have always inspired me, always prayed for me. And even though we live far apart, they're just always with me in my heart. Do you want me to put this up or not?
No, you know, I'm not decorating with your stuff. You got to do your own. I'll take the microphone.
Okay.
No,
but this is something else that I had to say.
Oh, you want to? Oh, okay. She's got more.
Oh, just one little thing. Okay, so this little angel, and I was thinking of my sisters are angels, and this is a little angel.
Put that up to your mouth, would you?
My mom made, and just a very simple little thing. Sorry, very simple little thing, 1963, and my mom used to make all of our ornaments handmade, and so I appreciated that so much. My mother made all of our clothes, even our coats and everything until I think I got a store-bought dress when I was in sixth or seventh grade because she just made everything. So I just appreciate my mom just giving of herself in that way. Seamstresses, my grandparents, my grandparent, and my mother were all seamstresses, and just appreciate, you know, that love and respect, and her head is turned. So I'm trying to turn it. Anyway.
Okay, yeah. Nothing needs to be perfect. Okay, thank you for that story. Brenda, why don't you put up your own picture and bring up the ornament you made? She made an ornament specifically for this occasion. But she just this morning said, can I get you the picture? I said, yeah, just text it to me or whatever, and we'll put it in the lineup. And so that's her and her dad. And she learned how to do those Afghans, and she wanted to do it because her dad's Afghan was getting thin, and so she was able to put that Afghan together and give it to her dad and have that wonderful picture. And it was 4 years ago your dad passed, wasn't it? When I first got here, he had passed, I think. Right. Is there anything you want to share? I know you don't like to talk in front of people, but.
I made the angel because my dad is kind of like my guiding angel, and my dad always kind of pushed to give of yourself. And my dad was a great woodworker and always made gifts and everything for everybody out of wood. And that's why I made it, because, you know, I wanted to give him something. So that's why I learned to crochet. And he guides me like an angel. He guides and is always there to protect me. So that's why there's an angel on the tree.
Awesome. Thank you, Brenda. That's okay. You want to clap for these? We probably should, you know. This is a tough journey. This life is a tough journey, and God knows how tough it is, and He's there every step of the way. And let's see. We'll run through the other pictures I know we have. Let's just throw up. They're not here today, but throw up Brenda Rose's picture. I don't know the story. I think they probably intended to be there. If you don't know Brenda, she's on the extreme right as you're facing up front, and you see their Christmas tree, and Wally and Brenda have been coming here for at least a couple years. She's on our finance team, and anyway, so we just wanted to share. That's Brenda's Christmas remembrance. Let's move on to Jerry Bedell. You gave me a picture. Okay, now somebody has to say something about this picture, but I'll come to you. You don't have to come up here, but oh, you've got an ornament. That's right. Come up and hang your ornament, Jerry, and then tell us the story. You mean you just grabbed it out of an album somewhere?
Well, yeah,
who are these people?
Who are they?
Yeah, tell us who they are.
Troy's on the right back, Trent's beside him, Mindy's in front of Trent, and Jenny's sitting down.
So that's the kids?
Yep, that's the kids.
Okay, what about well, that ornament?
This ornament, my mother-in-law, Carol's mom, made ornaments. And I don't know how she ever did it. I don't know how she made this. But she was so crippled with her hands. Yeah, arthritis so bad that she couldn't hardly move. But she made these intricate ornaments, and not just like this. She made bigger ones and all different kinds. And I was amazed that she could do it, because she was an amazing lady. But our family Christmases, mainly I think about when I was a kid, and my dad and mom had Christmas at their house, Christmas Eve.
Talk to them.
Christmas Eve at their house. And there'd be, I don't know, 30, 40 people in their house. Their house wasn't big at all. And there's a bunch of rugrats running around. Tim was one of them. And nephews and nieces. And then my dad got where he couldn't do it anymore. So Carol and I started doing it in our house in the basement. And we'd have 30, 40 people in our basement, which isn't that big either. But it just kept going on and on. And last night, we met for our family at Trent Christmas house. There were 19 of us there last night. And all but two of us were there. So it's just been a fun lifetime.
Amen. And they're partying right in this room after this service and before our Christmas Eve service. The Bedells are going to be here doing it again or some more. So that's good. We got to spread it out. And let me see. I think the last picture I know I have is Jill. We have five of Jill's pictures and family. So she's going to, you'll just have to turn around and look and see what's up there. And then she'll go to the, Brenda will go to the next one. And you can kind of tell us what to, and explain your ornament. I'm going to sit down.
Okay. I won't be that long, I promise. My pictures don't necessarily go with my ornament, other than maybe being about that age, a little bit older. My stained glass Santa is from my childhood. It was always my favorite one on the tree. And it just reminds me of the time that I got to be a Santa. I was probably 10 or 12, and I had a family member who had just moved back from out of state and was going through a rough patch. And my parents and my aunts and uncles, there's seven of them on the Henrich side, they had gotten together and decided that they were going to all put together gifts for my family member who was down on his luck. And, you know, they did things like clothes and a gift certificate for an eye exam and glasses and just kind of the basics that he needed to get back on his feet. I don't know who started it. It was probably Karen who started it. But during our Henrich Christmas Eve, my dad and I snuck into my uncle's coat and took his car keys, took his house keys, and we snuck out of the party and went to his apartment and snuck in and put all of the wrapped gifts underneath his tree. We took dog biscuits because his dog Otis wasn't very people-friendly. He was very protective of my uncle, so we were a little worried about that. But I think Otis knew that we were there for a good cause. And so that night, my uncle went home and went to bed, never turned on the lights or anything. And when he woke up the next morning, he said it was like Santa had been at his house and had all the gifts that he needed. And he still brings it up to this day. And I'm just thankful that my parents gave me the opportunity to be a part of that secret giving and to share hope and the meaning of Christmas to others.
Let's walk through those pictures. Show us the next one.
Oh, that's my sister Jessica and I. And that's Arpadel crew.
That looks familiar, that place. Yeah.
We'll be doing that right after church. So, and those are my kiddos a few years ago.
Oh. Thanks for crying, because I thought I would by now, but no, you've broken the ice, so nobody else will feel bad about it. Okay, so that's the planned ones, and now it's open for whoever would like to share. I do want to put this, I thought of this last minute. My brother Matthew is here, and oh, here it comes. This is the hospice remembrance for my dad, who was, I don't know how many years before he passed, he was hospice worker of the year. And he would go out and be in homes and help people who are on hospice. And then he, you know, had cancer and heart disease and dementia and passed. And this is what we are given. So this is given to me. It says Cletus Bud Price, because if you have a name like Cletus, everybody calls you Bud. And you know, you're glad. You're glad that they do that. You know, but this is for all of us. We've lost Mel, and we've lost Jean just most recently, and Rachel, and Doug Jordan. Those are the four we've had that had an impact, and this is a remembrance for those we've lost, and you might have another one or not, but I just wanted to include that, too. Oh, and Bobby Anderson lost his son in the last year, too, and life doesn't stop happening, does it? Ornament, I have one for you to hang. Story, favorite, worst. Yay, Tony. Uh-oh, okay, I'm going to sit down then for sure.
I don't have a picture. I thought of it too late, and then I thought, I don't know if I can get it up there, so I just brought some ornaments. My mom and my great-grandma and my grandma Bernice, I wish she was here today. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, they're all kind of mangled in here. They used to always make homemade ornaments, and it's just kind of cool because I feel like I got their craftiness from them. The sweater my mom's wearing is actually something my grandma knitted. This is an ornament that has a cross stitch on it. It says Tony, 1982. I was born in 79, but she's, like I said, always made handmade ornaments, and she made us all stockings, every single one of us in our family. She cross-stitched a stocking for us, and so all five of my stockings hanging from my fireplace, they've all been made by her, and so super special. And my mom has some, I have some homemade ornaments from my mom, and I have some homemade ornaments from my great-grandma. She used to do these snowflakes, and then she would starch them so they were real stiff. I have three or four of them. This is an ornament I bought in 2020. It has two angel wings on it when I lost both of my grandpas that year. Right back to back. So, but this is for Joe Tobbitts and then Ronald Fernelius, both of my grandpas that passed that year. That was a rough start to the year. And then COVID hit, so it was just like, woof. That was wild. This is an ornament that says 2002. It has a girl snowman and a boy snowman, and this was Tim and I's first Christmas. So, it's, you know, because it's like, oh my gosh, we got an ornament with our name on it, you know? And I had only been a Harris for a few months, but it was special to have my name next to his. I wish he was here today. He had to work. Golly, I'm sorry for the tears. And Judy DeWaters, I don't know if she's here today. She's not here. But she sent me a Christmas card, and it had an image of, it was a little white chapel, and you could see Santa's sleigh parked in front of the chapel. And when you open the card, it showed Santa kneeling at the altar in front of a manger scene, in front of baby Jesus. And I told her, I said, I love that card showing Santa bowing to baby Jesus. And I just thought it was such a cool way to bring Christmas together, to bring Santa. And she bought me this ornament. And it's one of my favorite ornaments. She said, I was at Frankenmuth and I thought of you and I saw Santa kneeling next to baby Jesus and I just thought it was really cute. So it's one of my favorite ornaments. And it says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. It's Philippians 2:10. So. There we go.
Looks like we have a bunch of cat owners because all the ornaments are up. I don't know what's going on with that, but anyway. While you're thinking, we need to recognize that Bob Leach, if you'd wave your hand, today is his birthday. Who wants to... Go ahead, start it.
Happy birthday, dear Bob. Happy birthday to you.
92. You want to talk to Bob? He's a retired Flint police officer. If you want some stories of what it's really like. Ah. You got it. I got lights in my eyes. You have to. This is Marion.
Yeah. This is one of my favorite ornaments. I have a whole bunch of these. They're a lot of the names of Christ. And the angels are holding a baby Jesus with a name. This one is called Lamb of God. And he's holding a little lamb. Christ came as our lamb, born in Bethlehem, where the sacrificial lambs were being birthed, and he was laid there, and not a stable like we really think. There was a cave, and they wrapped swaddling clothes, and one of the pastors I listened to recently talked about, this isn't recorded, but his cousin was John the Baptist, and his father was a priest. And they never threw the their clothes away, you know, like the shepherds that participated in the birthing lambs, the sacrificial lambs. Those clothes were considered holy. And so possibly Christ was wrapped in Zechariah's swaddled in his priestly clothes. And I just think that's really neat. I'd like to ask for prayer for my son Merritt and his family. Him and Heidi, and they have 8 children, age 2 to 15, and they're over in Ukraine right now, and for the next year. And he was going to take some Bibles and supplies over to a place called Kherson. But the fighting is so bad. The city was just like here. There's a river, and the Russians are fighting right across the river. But their heart's desire is to get Bibles there because he said they're Bible impoverished there. He wants the youth with a mission. They want to spread the gospel to those who haven't heard. And when they do take the gospel to these different towns in Ukraine, they give the gospel message, and 90% will raise their hand to ask Jesus in their heart. And just be in prayer for him and his family. The recent video, they showed the sirens going off where they live. Merritt and Heidi and the 8 children, they live like on the west side of the country. And that's where they gather up supplies and take it to the east side of the country. They give you know, Bibles and food. And they showed a video that they have donated a whole bunch of wheelchairs and walkers and it looks like blankets. And yeah, just be in prayer because the gospel is just really increasing there. You know, they delivered 7,000 bags of food when they were there this last year. They were there for 6 months. And so 90% of 7,000 for a small group is really amazing. And those people, they're going to talk to others about Christ too. And it's really multiplying. And I'm proud of them. And he said they're going to try to go to Kirsten again in January. So just be in prayer for safety and that message gets there.
Okay, thank you, Mary. That's a great ornament for our special, our choir special, the Lamb of God. And let's pray right now for him and his family. Lord, thank you for Merritt and his family and his passion, his open ears to hear your call to go to a place like Ukraine and in turmoil. We all have turmoil, but a different kind of turmoil that they are experiencing. And I pray, Lord, you would give him wisdom and help him to hear your voice saying, not yet or now, and Lord, extend your protection over them, the family, the ministry team. Thank you, Lord, that we can translate your word into the language of peoples all across this globe, and they can read of the light of Christ, the word that became flesh and dwells among us even now. And I pray somehow in this season, in that war-torn place, they would experience the remembrance of the arrival of the light that still burns bright. And be with Matthew and Marion as parents as they pray and lift up and are a part of this ministry as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
He sent another video this earlier this week. And they used his van because he's got a big one. And they delivered OCC boxes to Ukraine orphanage.
Awesome. Not our boxes, but that's awesome. Yeah. I want to let you guys know, too, we haven't announced this yet, but in the third weekend of January, I think it's the 19th, 20th, and 21st, we have the Jerry Coates, who leads the Free Methodist World Missions in Indianapolis at our denominational level. He and his wife are going to be here for a missions weekend. And we're going to have a Friday night thing. We're going to have a men's and ladies things on Saturday, and then Jerry will be bringing a message on that Sunday. So put that on your calendar. That'll be an interesting overview. I think I took a class from him once a long, long time ago. We'll see if he remembers if I was a good student or not. No, Mark. Yeah.
I didn't know what to say. I didn't bring an ornament and I didn't bring a picture. But we started our family on Christmas Day with Emily. And she was a Christmas baby. So thank you so
You're welcome.
Much. But I don't need it.
Yeah, you want to hang it.
I actually have an ornament.
You just said you didn't.
It's right here. It goes with this. I have a story about this ornament,
okay.
Too.
You got to leave it on the tree. You got to leave your glasses on the
tree. But Karen and I lived in Pulaski when we started our family, and we lived in an old farmhouse. We worked with the teens, and we lived across the street from the church. And we had to move our bed downstairs because Karen was very pregnant. And we didn't want to walk up and down the stairs because the treads on the stairs, I mean, they were almost straight down. It was an old farmhouse, wood stairs. We both fell down those stairs. I broke the tread with my tailbone, one of the treads off with my tailbone falling down the stairs. But I just wanted to praise God that we were able to start our family on Christmas Day. Emily doesn't necessarily like it, but we make sure that we have two different things going on, Christmas and her birthday party. But three of my favorite ladies in the world are my wife, my mom, and my great-grandmother. My mom's grandmother. And I may not remember all the facts to this, but when we lived on Silver Lake Road, we used to get together at the house and my brother Butch, we call him Butch, his name's Ron, Ronald Clyde Fernelius, and he used to show, not videos, but slides of family pictures, and we were showing those, and one of the slides was my mom, one year after the other, wearing the same sweatshirt or same shirt from the one year to the next. You know, you get to see those pictures. But my great-grandmother, she was one of my, don't cry, she was one of my favorite people in the world. She was such a great witness. She lived with my mom and dad, and my mom took care of her for 7 or 8 years. She was born in 1891 and died when she was 96. Hmm. I think she was 96. And going past her room, bedroom would be open, and she would be writing letters, or every day she would read her Bible. Every day I would see her reading her Bible. But this is where the ornament comes in. We're showing slides and family pictures and that, and there was one slide that came up. You know, she had a lot going on. She couldn't hear. She couldn't see. She fell out of bed one time and broke her hip, climbed back into bed and didn't tell my mom. And she wasn't getting out of bed. My mom said, Grandma, why are you still in bed? And she was an early riser, and she'd get up and make her coffee or warm milk and mixed with water. And she wasn't getting out of bed. Well, did you fall, Grandma? Yeah. So she ended up, she had broken her hip, but she just climbed back in bed and didn't say a word. She never complained. Her fingers were crooked. Her knees were just, you know, she had arthritis so bad, but she was such a caring lady. And go back to these pictures. One picture came up, and it was totally blurry. And she says, oh, my, isn't that beautiful? And we just started cracking up. But this is the ornament for my grandmother. I'm going to put this up top. But she was such a wonderful lady. I didn't even think about doing the glasses till I started thinking about the story. I'm like, that's perfect. That's a perfect ornament for Grandma Klein.
Okay, you don't have to leave that for the whole week, though. You can take those. Okay. It might come in handy a little later. I met him. This is James Bridgman. I didn't know that they called him Jim. Who his brother Dennis right there was talking about Jim. I said, oh, do you have another brother? Anyway, this is James or Jim or whatever you want to call him.
How you doing? My name is James. I'm the older brother, even though I'm 3 years younger than my brother. Every time we go to a restaurant, we ask the same question. It goes, which one of us looks the oldest? I brought this ornament. It's my mom and dad's ornament. It reminds me of the time when I was in the Navy. And we were deployed for Christmas, and Mom was a great baker. I mean, she baked the best cookies, so much so that when the package came, the entire ship knew. So I get knocked on the radio room. Did your mom bake cookies? Yeah. Did the cookies here? Yeah. Can we have some cookies? So, yeah, I sold them some cookies. Mom didn't find out until we pulled in the port, and they're like, you the one that makes those cookies? Yeah. They were great. We bought about... But I just amazed at the type of parents that I have that always supported us. My brother was also in the Navy. I'm sure he got cookies delivered, too. I don't know if he sold them, though. But Mom and Dad were always there for us, and Mom started putting these ornaments on when they moved to Florida. And I always wondered why. Why they put the ornaments when they moved to Florida? Well, the reason why is so they won't get broke. Because when I took over and we had dogs, we would put them on a tree, but every time the dog would go by, they would. This is the lone survivor.
Awesome.
And I just wanted to put it on a tree to remind us of all our parents and all our loved ones that are not here, but we're still carrying on the memory of them.
Amen. I'll get you in a minute, Dennis. Brandon's coming up.
I don't have an ornament or a picture either, so you're not the only one, Mark. My Christmas story is, thank you, based on a long time ago when I was a lot younger, my teenage years. My great-grandmothers were still around. We call my grandfather's mother on my dad's side, Granny. And then most of you would know my great-grandmother, Virginia White. Both of them have passed a long time ago, and my favorite Christmas memory is spending the last Christmas with them. I miss them a lot, I still feel them with me, because even after they passed, I had a phenomenon happen to me. When it was during the spring, I was over at my grandparents' house, and as soon as I walked up to the back door, my great-grandmother had a favorite animal. It was a butterfly. She always had a pendant of a butterfly, and one approached me and circled me as if it was my great-grandmother greeting me. And she was watching over me and my family. My mom has the same thing happen, but when it comes to my granny, she loves cardinals. We always see a red cardinal at our front porch. We always say, "Hi, Granny, hope you're having a lovely time." I've missed them so much, but I'm so happy that God is keeping them safe.
Amen. I've been informed that they sent me a picture and somehow I don't have it.
So we sent a picture of our
family.
This is
Dennis and Ramona. I'm sorry. Terribly sorry.
We sent a picture of our family, and it was at my middle son's wedding. We have three boys. Stephen, who some of you may have met, he was here a few weeks ago. Andrew, who's pastor in Montana, and then Daniel, who's living in Phoenix, Arizona. So we weren't blessed with any girls, but we're just thankful that God gave us three beautiful stepdaughters that we get along great with, and we have a great time. The holidays can be a little tough for us since they're all out west, and it's hard to get everybody together now, and So sometimes we can get two of us together, or sometimes we can get, so Mom had to lay down the law that someone had to at least spend holidays with us. So that was one of the things that we did. So I have an ornament here, and it's the first ornament that Ramona and I ever bought as a couple. And it's a Hallmark Lovebirds ornament. Now, this ornament has held the test of time. You know, we went from kid-friendly ornaments to now adult ornaments on our tree, but this is the one that always remains. So that's, and this is plastic, so for any dogs that get
it. And the ornament that I'm sharing is one that we got in May. We were in Sedona. So our tradition has been when we go on vacation to buy an ornament that reminds us of the place. So this was the church in Sedona. That's pretty awesome. So when we put our ornaments out, we'll play a game. I'll say, do you remember where this one was? And we'll talk about what we did there, you know, have a good conversation about those things. And I'll put it a little higher. So this is
I am sorry that I didn't have your picture up there. I feel terrible.
No, it's okay.
Well, and we sent that picture because you guys really haven't seen it. It's not an old one.
Yeah, if I find it, we'll see it. If it's still in my inbox, we'll see it. It might not be today, but oh, I see. Okay. That's office stuff. Fast and Furious. Sounds like we need to make a church ornament. I never knew you could make a church ornament. We need to do that and give it to other people, right?
So I have a couple ornaments.
Who are you?
I'm Hannah.
Okay.
You introduced everybody else.
Well, I know that, but
this ornament says, God gave us music that we might pray without words. And actually, my mom and Patty Clemens, who's like another mom to me, they gave me the same ornament in the same year. So music is something really special. My mom shared earlier about Ellsworth, and God just continues to speak with me through music, whether it's like different lyrics that stand out or just this perfect song comes on, either on the radio when I need it. So I have that one. And I really like that Patty and Mom gave it to me the same year. One has black writing, one has red writing, so it's a little different, but it's still both of them. And I love that I can be another daughter. There's been many people in church and just different mentors of mine that maybe didn't have daughters of their own, but that they can be there for me and I can be there for them, so that's really awesome. And then I brought these ones in for my dad, who's working. This one's actually a church cross-stitch ornament that his grandma, my great-grandma, made. And then the cross, I don't remember what year, but there was a year that I made handmade ornaments for everybody in my family. I had some that were different colors, like Swartz Creek colors, sports teams, Michigan State, Detroit Lions, and then just purple and gold, and I gave them out to all my family members, so just the crafting that continued on. I'm more musical than crafty when it comes to arts, but it was fun to make them and think of them. So,
thank you.
Thank you very much.
Who are you?
My name is Austin Bedell, and I am son of Tim Jr. Bedell and Jill Bedell and the whole Bedell family, all of it. And I have one story and one ongoing kind of story. The story is of my mom, and I remember, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago, I woke up kind of earlier in the morning, I'd say 4 o'clock, and I would come down, and I just kind of laid on the couch just admiring the Christmas tree. And I don't know why, but every time I picture it, all I see is just a Christmas tree with gold and golden presents, even though we didn't really have golden wrapping paper. And then she came down, and she cuddled with me, and I just know I always have my mom to see with, and and I got the crying genetics from my grandpa and my dad to comfort me. And the ongoing story is with my dad. And we would always stay upstairs at the top of the stairway. And we would wait till my mom, she would get the camera ready, and my dad would be done with chores. And even on Christmas morning, he would always be finishing chores outside in the morning, because animals always come first. And, like, I just admire from him that I can just learn from him my discipline, my respect from him, because he always is one step ahead, always figuring something out, always finishing what needs to be done.
That's when I married both of them.
Good job, man. You know he just made his mom's day by talking about cuddling at his age. Come on now. Yeah, but he's talking about it still. Barb? This is Barb. I'll spill the beans. This is Barb.
Yeah, I'm Barb Cook. If everyone knows me, if you've ever talked to Stephanie, she says I'm her best friend for life or her sister, but my favorite memory, I forgot to bring the ornament this morning, but I'm going to try to bring it tonight. But my favorite memory growing up was when I used to live with my grandparents. We used to have two Christmas trees. One in the living room was nice and white and pretty. And that was mine and my grandmother's favorite thing to do together. And we had one in the kitchen that was my grandfather's tree because he liked to hunt fish. He tried to get me into it. I can't because I cry every time you kill an animal. I cry. So animals are my thing. So I used to do, my grandmother had the mangers and she had a little teddy bear, little decoration that you can hang on the tree or you can have on the table and decorate them together. And that was my favorite thing to do with my grandmother, not the hunting stuff with my grandfather. And that was my favorite thing to do.
Thanks, Barb. Dale? Praise team, why don't you guys make your way up? We have a couple of Christmas songs we want to end with, and we'll have a couple of more of these. Austin's dad is the drummer guy that's coming up. I just want you to know he's the hardworking farmer guy that is a good example to his son.
All righty. When Pastor said to bring in an ornament, my mind raced back to when I was a kid and some of the things that, you know, we put on our tree. So I couldn't get the exact ornament because it's either buried in my parents' house somewhere or my sister has it. But what this is it's a trumpet. One of the things that me and my sister always loved to put on a tree was this little plastic trumpet. It was had like a red bell, a green mouthpiece, and then the where the middle was yellow. We'd almost fight over who got to put it on. And we'd always get in trouble, you know, for taking it off and trying to play it. So you know, I thought about that, and I thought about, you know, how much simpler times were back when we were kids, and we didn't have to worry about everything we worry about as adults now. But it was just so much fun to decorate the tree as a kid. So I thought about this, and I brought in a symbol of it.
This guy's Ziggy.
Anyhow, I lived with my wife in a guest home, but the last few months, she would be singing, and she would be making music, and she would direct and do different things, and I already told other people, she's already in heaven, we just don't know it. Here, Pastor, you're good at reading. Read all nine words.
Your wings were ready, but our hearts were not. It has Elsa's picture. Do you want me to hang it for you, or do you want to come up and
hang it?
Okay. Are you done? Okay.
She loved you.
Christmas is about memories, and we've shared a few of them. Make memories. Tomorrow. Think of people who need an embrace and quiet presence while other people are being loud opening their presence because it hurts in the heart to have such a warm call and have a cold experience. We've had more. I'm just looking at faces of others who have had great losses that I'm aware of today. We're going to end with a couple of songs. Joy to the World is one of them. And if you're not in that frame of mind, don't sing that one, and that's okay. And the one that follows that, I'll let them introduce it. And I'll just come back here to have a little prayer before we dismiss. So why don't you join us by standing?
Thank you.
Join me in prayer, will you? Father, thank you for an occasion like this to come to year in, year out, to remember your significant entry. But thank you, Lord, that you didn't stay in the manger. You grew up. You demonstrated what a life lived, completely sold out to the Father, looked like. And you called us to a like life through your own sacrifice. And Lord, though we celebrate loud and long and with bright lights and all sorts of happy thoughts and things, may we not separate from this time the cost of our being able to know you and follow you, your own blood shed on the cross. And I pray, Lord, that more than a remembrance, more than tradition, more than things that have warmed our hearts, or maybe things we escape from at this time of year, you would open the door for people to walk for the first time into the relationship with you by just saying, I'm going to start following you today, Jesus. I believe in all you are and all you have done, and now you're my Savior. And Lord, opportunities for those who have already walked through that door to be closer with you, to understand how worthy you are to be able to come and lay our gifts down at your feet, lay our own selves down at your feet, and not pick up less, but what we actually do is pick up more freedom in Christ for now and for eternity. Thank you, Lord, for coming to save us. Be in homes, be with travelers, be with all the celebrations of this holiday, and with our service tonight for those who are able to come. May you be glorified, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and Merry Christmas!